I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
An Erio's original.
From 8 to 5, I wear jeans.
Are you wearing jeans right now? Like, you wear jeans in cozy mode? Whoa. No house pants.
I think in order to do work and to write and all that sort of daytime shit, I need to be in street clothes.
Call is now being recorded.
You're the first podcast I've ever done in quarantine over the phone.
This could be the first quarantine podcast ever.
I think it definitely will be.
It's probably in the top 1,000.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I've been avoiding doing this podcast for the entire quarantine, which at this point, we're doing podcasts right now. It's recording. Yeah, okay. Whether or not Amanda thinks it's good enough to use, that's on her. She's right. The producer. Right. We're just doing our best right now.
We're creative.
Right.
We're showing up. We're putting in the time. It's not our fault if, you know, the spirit isn't there.
Right.
The technological spirit. We've got the spirit. Actually, never. I retract my previous statement. We have the spirit, but the technology, that's the producer stuff. We can't focus on that.
Yeah, that's producer stuff.
That's producer shit.
We've been in quarantine for 5 weeks.
I'm 1 month in almost exactly.
I guess we started like not seeing anybody. It was like the Friday after my birthday, and my birthday was March 8th. Is that the same amount of time you've been in quarantine?
Yeah.
Just want to make sure I'm not missing out on anything.
No, I was in quarantine. I was in Las Vegas to see 311 on 311, and that was right when everyone was starting to freak out. And then I came home. And then I hung out with someone, and then the 13th, I stopped seeing people, which is so strange to say.
Wait, who'd you see on the 12th? A special lady friend.
I'm not telling you that. Are you a cop?
You're right. You shouldn't tell me that. It's private.
This is a hobby podcast. This isn't the podcast where we open up about that stuff.
You're right. But also, how much fun would quarantine be if you were like in the honeymoon phase of a new relationship?
It sounds very like there's a lot of pressure on it because you're immediately married and monogamous, right? And all those other sort of things.
But like, that's the kind of pretend play you right. want to have
right
before everything starts sucking.
That is kind of hot too.
It's fun. Like, oh my God, there's nothing we can do. The world's ending. We can only hang out with each other. Like, there's something very, it doesn't matter. It's like,
where you're just sort of like really tractor beams onto each other. And that's all you want to do anyway. And then you guys make all these excuses for your friends. But now you don't.
Yeah.
I suddenly feel
maybe that would take the fun out of it. I don't know. Maybe like not, maybe. Maybe, I don't know, there's something that seems romantic, like desert island-y about being forced to like be quarantined with somebody who you just met. But like, I might just think that because it's so the opposite of what my situation is.
Right.
Anyway, this fucking sucks. I'm so over it. I know this podcast isn't about preaching to the choir, but like, I'm losing my mind.
I think, you know, anything that's made now has to have the guise of what's happening inside of it. So the idea that, yeah, I mean, you can't talk to anybody without sort of this weird, you can't write an email without ending it, I hope you're safe. I hope your family is okay. So
it's like, we're all fine. We're just bored.
Yeah. Like, and, you know, honestly, like hobbies, it's like, I'm trying to, my whole thing with this quarantine shit is trying to be as like much of a pancake as possible, like really thin out my living experience of like what I'm working on, making sure I'm being cognizant, doing it, spending time on things. Like I have one movie I want to watch this week and I'm just like kind of pushing that off until I absolutely have nothing else to do, and then I'll fucking watch that movie. So,
what movie?
Onward.
I've watched it like 5 times already.
What is it, good?
Yeah, I haven't watched the whole thing in one sitting, but all the different pieces that I've seen, because the attention span of my kid isn't a full length movie's worth of sit down time in one sitting, you know. So we have to like. So I've watched it like 5 times, but every time it's like all these different pieces. But from what I've seen, I really like it.
Mm.
It's fine. It's good. Yeah. I mean, I've seen the movie Sing, the cartoon movie Sing, so many times. But like occasionally Paul and I will be like, I've never seen this part.
Between the major parts.
Yeah, like a 12 seconds of like, whoa, I didn't know. I've never seen this part. Yeah, that's interesting to me that that's the movie you're like saving to watch, but I guess you are a cartoon maker.
Yeah. I mean, it's that, but it's, you know, there's this thing right now where just because shit's out, I feel like people feel like they need to watch it. Like fucking Ozark season 3. Why are people watching Ozark all of a sudden? I have no interest in seeing Jason Bateman be a sad Southern guy. Is he? He's like a
dude. I know. Suddenly Ozark is like trending or like the hot topic, and I'm like, really? That's what everybody was waiting for. Like,
yeah.
I didn't even know it was on 3 seasons. Maybe because it just came out. I don't know. Are people talking about Westworld that way?
Westworld is insanely bad.
I know, but I still watch it. There's nothing else. Yeah. Anyway, when you say that you're like pancaking out all of your stuff, like what do you mean? Like you're thinning out? What? Explain that a little bit more. Like, you're trying not to do a lot of stuff. Like, we're talking about hobbies. Like, you're trying to figure out what you really like and what you really just are kind of lukewarm on.
Yeah. Basically, you know, like, I felt like maybe I do a lot of things. I make music. I make these little books. I'm developing a lot of different things. And just trying to really not have my day basically be 5 things and having it be 1 thing a day where I just really am like kind of presently working on something to just fill the time to make sure that I don't, you know, get too lost in the whole muddiness of the weeks and all that sort of shit.
Uh-huh.
I've been working home for basically 2 years before this. So I feel a little lucky where my daytimes have been mostly the same, but just like, even at night, making sure I'm not spinning out with like, cause you can easily do nothing. And, I don't want to do that cause I feel like I'll freak the fuck out about everything. So I'm just trying to very slowly work on a bunch of different things.
So like what this podcast is about is what you like to do where there's no agenda, where like you're not making money. It has nothing to do with romance or finance. Mm-hmm. Let's say those are like the two main agenda driven areas. So what you do purely for the love of Phil and no other reason.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be learning how to use a loom to taking acid, whatever. It could mm-hmm. be what it could. I'm just curious what that is for you or what those things are for you.
I think I've spent so much time on the computer and so much time since growing up to now. And then my job kind of became still being on the computer, and any iteration of a job I've had has been computer based, where I really was for a long time had like a weird bad feeling about that, you know, I shouldn't feel comfortable on it in my free time, especially. That's not to say I spend all my day on it. I do realize blue light shit and being healthy by getting off of it and all that sort of stuff. But that's a long way of saying I think my hobby is fucking around on the computer and making weird little art things on the computer and utilizing it as what it is, which is like weird, beautiful, endless tool that you can scour and get inspiration or steal shit from in a very organic way. I really like, you know, there's the internet now has become 4-5 websites. There's like Twitter, there's like news sites, Facebook, but like I loved it when there was like a shit ton of websites that you would check out that you would really dig.
That's true, that there is only like, there's like 5 websites. I mean, there's weird shit, like a lot of the times I'll discover like stores, like places to buy shit right on the internet. That's like, oh my God, like, this is rad. I don't even know about this. Like, that's the only new kind of websites I'm ever finding. Like, no more. I don't find like the weird blogs or anything like that anymore.
Yeah. See, those were great. And the aggregators and stuff. Tumblr was good for that for a while. Of
mm-hmm.
just straight up collections of weird shit. Two places I've been looking that have kind of become a hobby of mine. The first one is Flickr. Like straight up the picture uploading website that everybody used from like 2000 to 2010.
You could just
go on that and like search groups and then search like 90s and go to like 90s ads or something. You just look at 90s ads for like an hour of just like all this weird, obscure ephemera from weird magazines and all that sort of stuff. Search like Japanese ads and then like 80s stuff and all that sort of stuff.
Do you ever search people's names? Like,
no, but that's kind of funny. But right? There is really cool tools within that you could use where you can search within time periods too. Like if people added a date to it, you could search for photos up to like 1970 and that's it. And then you're looking at all these weird, very personal, often uploaded photos of people that is like so cool. I don't know if you've ever got, if you're like a big flea market person, but there was always like that, those huge bins of just fucking photos that you would look through. And it was like,
yeah.
Partly sad, but also like amazing. Just because now film, especially of like I think all of our eyes are so acclimated to iPhone photos. Anytime you see something taken with a camera, it's immediately like a piece of art. A little bit of
no,
art.
Totally. Yeah, I love that. Like, I love looking at pictures like that.
Yeah, and searching like New Jersey, 1980 to 1970, and looking around and seeing like weird places that I know and all that sort of stuff is like beautiful and fun. And then you grab it, bring it into fucking Photoshop, you cut out this guy, you cut out that guy, and you just making weird shit.
That's cool. I like that. And so do you have a place where you put these things up, or do you just put them up like what do you do with these little like computer art projects? Where do they live? Just on your computer? Do you send them to people?
I really think like there's a really, I learned this like a year ago once I finally got like a big, like safe computer that's not a laptop. Like treating your digital space as if it was your high school drawers or something. Like you literally have a junk drawer that's just like called random. And within that is all these weird projects that you don't need to get overwhelmed with or think about too much where it's going to end up. Just like, cause I never got good at drawing with my hands in a fucking notebook or anything like that. I really enjoyed MS Paint, and then I torrented Photoshop and Illustrator, and then I really learned those tools. So that's all on the computer, and I have to not kick myself by the fact that it's not out here, and the fact that I do come back to my computer after I have dinner, but it's in a different headspace of like cozy, you know? I just like feel like I'm in like my cozy, and it's the same exact place I've been sitting all day, but turning your POV a little bit into like, okay, now I'm going to look into my junk drawer, see what excites me, see what like lights me up at that point. But, you know, so I have all those things, but for the most part, it was this bumper sticker book I made that was, that ended up being a little, and I'm not going to say it was financial because I'm so fucking in the red on this project where I got literally 500 copies delivered like two days into this global pandemic. So I'm never going to make money from it, but I'm happy that I did it.
Wait, I want to buy it. I saw something about it on maybe your Instagram. First of all, I think that's cool. And if you feel cozy and comfortable at your computer, I don't think you should beat yourself up over it. Like,
I don't think anyone should.
Nobody should beat themselves up over anything that brings them joy.
Yeah.
Who cares?
And it doesn't hurt.
But, I saw your bumper sticker thing maybe on Instagram, and like, I never know like what's real on your Instagram or like what's a joke. So, I mean, I could have maybe like done some more digging, but I think it was just this morning that I was looking at it and I'm like, oh yeah, I want to do film for my podcast. So, but is that something that, where can I get that? I want it.
Yeah, I have a website.
Is it real stickers?
And basically,
wait, what's it called?
Horn If You're Honky.
Oh yeah.
And basically, yeah, it's just, it's, you know, this is another hobby too, where it was like, I like graphic design. I think, just keeping an eye on things that are cool right now and trends that I'm seeing that I fucking hate. Like everybody's now doing like this liquid 90. Everyone's doing the same thing. You see the fucking snake tail of it all, but like this 90 liquid font sort of thing. It's really driving me crazy.
What is it? Is it like rave flyer?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, they're all playing that now.
Cheesy.
Yeah, it's incredibly cheesy. But I like, you know, fonts and all that sort of shit. So this book was me just grabbing cool, weird 70s fonts.
Maybe you can help me with something. We can talk about this after the podcast, but I will plug it because I have an art book coming out.
Cool.
And I was told to like pick a font, but I don't know how to do that. And fonts are really important to me, but there's so many that I just get really overwhelmed and like really like ADHD about it. And I bet you're really organized. You're probably very organized because you have things organized on your computer, but like you were like, did you ever have a junk drawer? Like all of my drawers are junk drawers. Every single one. And then I don't have any on my computer, but I just have tons of folders that are so specific that, like, there's so many of them.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I need to pick a font, but you can help me with it after, because we can't, it's visual and it doesn't make sense to talk about it on a podcast, but I do like that as sort of like a hobby, because my friend Jesse, he worked at Vice for a long time. I've known Jesse for a long time before Vice, but he's really visual and he helps me with that stuff. So I need to, like, now they're asking. So I sent them all the paintings because I'm doing a book with Drag City, and I sent them all the paintings and they're like, well, what order do you want? And like, what font do you want? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I did the work. Like,
right.
I don't know how to make these choices, but I also, the fact that they're asking me is cool, because I don't want like a liquid 90s rave font. That's not at all.
Yeah,
so
of course.
I wish that my brain was able to organize or categorize things in like the way that I feel like graphic designers are able to do that.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like to an nth degree, and it's funny because if I literally move back and I look, like, it's all, there's so much shit around my computer, which is kind of funny that it's just like, no, the physical realm is garbage. I don't need that at all organized, but inside of my computer, I have somewhat degree of cleanliness that my mom might be proud of.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
When I look at your Instagrams or tweets or whatever, it just seems like you're drunk or on drugs like all of the time. But is that just you're welcome, is that real, or is that your brand?
When you look at my Instagram, you think I'm drunk?
Well, maybe when I read your Twitter more, there's a lot of things. But not that, no judgments, like I'm just wondering if that's one of your hobbies.
I don't smoke marijuana until very recently, because of the plague. I've taken up on occasionally doing it at night, but I hadn't done it for like, since I was literally in high school. It just kind of didn't do it for me, but,
I didn't really like it. It made me feel paranoid. I never I wasn't that into. There was like maybe a period of time in college where it worked, and then it just wasn't my bag, baby.
Yeah, and everyone, I think it's something with like making like adult animation and like my general tone of voice being really silly and stuff. People are always like putting weed on me and like doing really hacky responses that are just like, "You okay, dude? Like, you okay?" It's like, "Yeah, no, I'm a fucking freak, man. That's me. That's just naturally who I am." Like,
I like that.
I drink to get drunk. I've been doing it most of my life, and I still haven't really learned how to temper it down and have a beer to relax. So I do get drunk a lot. That is one of my biggest hobbies, probably. Of course, my best friend. the feeling of three beers with my girlfriend. That's all I know. But as for like Twitter and stuff, Twitter honestly is another big hobby of mine in the sense of like writing jokes. I really do care about writing jokes. And I hate that website because it really has become this horrible. So many of my fucking friends too, where it's like the same four jokes told by like the same 20 people all going for the retweets or whatever. And then like, it's become a lot of virtue signaling and everybody trying to be this little pious Peter and like replying.
Oh my God, I know.
Flint still doesn't have water, bitch. And it's like, shut the fuck up. You don't know what you're talking about. Just go back to saying jokes. You're a comedian, dude. Just, I don't know. I get very upset about what Twitter has become in that respect, but I really do like thinking of the dumbest things possible and kind of doing my POV. And a good writing tip for any writers out there, like if you have I'll do this a lot if I'm stuck on like a joke or an area or anything like that. You could search your own tweets for like certain words. So like if I have, you know, somebody's talking about summer and I need a character to have like a really quick quip about summer, you could search summer from : Phil or Philip and I could see every fucking joke I've written from 9 years that includes the word summer or hot or whatever.
Right.
So use your own dumb brain that you're spitting out into the cosmos. Your benefit.
Yeah, I've definitely used Twitter a lot as like an online notebook for like quick jokes when I need one. My own Twitter, and I'm pretty sure that like 90% of the people who follow me on Twitter have me muted because, or I'm just not that good at Twitter. But like, which is very. Very, very possible. I don't think I am that good at it, but I like it. Paul like writes the dumbest jokes and he gets like 8,000 likes on it in like 2 seconds. And then I write like a way better one and I always just get 14 likes. And then when I tweet something that I'm like, ah, fine, this is stupid, that's when I get a lot. So I just don't think I know, but I still like it for that. I like it as a writing tool and exercise. I never read it. Like yours comes up a lot, probably because I've saved a lot of yours. So like, if it comes up in like the top 20, then I'll read it and I like it. But most of the time, I'm just not getting enough faves for me to go on the site enough.
Not calling you into it in order to interact.
No, I mean, same thing with Instagram. Like, I think I fucked up with Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram where I followed too many people, and I just...
Oh.
I can't be on it. I can't sit on it and look and scroll through and, like, see all this stuff. And so I just go on to see really, like, 20 posts and like how many likes I got on something.
Right. Yeah. You gotta, Twitter is, I really think, the best to just like push out and not look at. I mean, the feed is horrible, unless you follow like news sort of stuff.
It's so boring. It's also like, obviously, like every person I follow and anyone who follows me, like, isn't a Trump supporter. I don't know. It's so boring. Like, I don't, if I wanted the news, I'll just go to the news.
Right.
I'll just go to New York Times, I guess. Like, I barely do that. Like, doing it more now because of coronavirus. But you quit smoking cigarettes? Wait, did you ever smoke cigarettes?
I vaped for a while.
I thought I read something where you quit because of coronavirus.
No, that was just a joke because I wanted to post that photo of me and Mike doing. I started vaping as a joke for this web series we did, and then I got into it. And I never smoked cigarettes, but I really liked it. I realize I like thing, like one more thing. Like, I like coffee a lot because it affects me.
I smoke cigarettes forever. I love smoking cigarettes. I like having an extra thing too, but I don't have that many options because I've just been sober for a long time. And so I drink coffee also, but like, it starts to, like, when I drink too much coffee, like, you know, your stomach gets weird and like,
mm-hmm.
So I love smoke.
I drink it all day, every day, and I hate it. I've never enjoyed it.
I don't even know if I enjoy it because it's not an option. Like, I think I need it. I'm so tired. And people are like, I quit coffee. I'm not tired anymore. And I'm like, well,
anyone
you have to have been
coffee.
For.
One of my best friends has never drank coffee. And I it's really outside of like my spectrum of reality of being an adult.
I mean, it's part of my process.
I just started adding MCT oil to my coffee. That'll fuck you up, man. That's good.
What?
That's a good high.
Wait, is it street legal?
Yeah, it's coconut extract thingy that's medium chain triglycerides, and it fucking feels like Adderall.
Where'd you get that? Amazon?
Amazon, yeah.
Dude. Shut up. Does it make your coffee taste different?
Yeah, it's like kind of fatty, kind of coconutty, but not a discernible. You only do like a teaspoon of it. But I've been doing it like for, you know, like how I used to do Adderall when I worked in advertising, of just like when I need the turbo boost. So like once or twice or three times a week. Just put a little dollop in there and you'll go fucking crazy. I've been insane. It's great.
Does it fuck with you going to sleep at night? Or you just like...
No, I've literally never had that problem from coffee. I've been a very anxious sleeper like my entire life since childhood. So I don't think anything's really going to fuck with that. But no. It doesn't add on like any sort of craziness. I feel like we're probably the same person where I too am always tired if I don't have tons of coffee keeping me going.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to start wrapping up, but I have two questions to ask you before we leave. One is, what's your favorite quarantine cozy, I'm at my computer outfit? What have you been wearing lately?
I've been, I don't have them on right now, but I designated several pair of house shoes that are just my regular one's a pair of sneakers, the other one is a pair of Birkenstocks that I've been wearing. That's like my most important thing is like, cause working from home, I just can't get into work zone in socks. It's like, actually like talking, doing Zoom calls, pitching and all this sort of shit, and my socks feels really incorrect. So
yeah, I feel you on that.
The bottom shoes, like some sort of shoe wear to put on and wake me up.
Yeah, you need house shoes.
Yeah, no, but so that, and then just like tons of fits, man. My regular, I from 8 to 5 I wear jeans. And like I put on my house is always fucking cold, so I'll put on a bunch of, usually in the morning, a bunch of different layers. I'm wearing a
hat
now when we called each other.
Are you wearing jeans right now? Like you wear jeans in cozy mode? Whoa. Wow. No house pants.
No house pants. I just wear straight up, I wear my street clothes at home.
Wow.
I was never one of those guys, like, in college that would go to class in sweatpants. I've tried to fake that funk a little bit, but I'm just, like, I wear pants. My pants are comfortable. I'm not, like, a selvedge denim fucking weirdo. But, so, I think in order to do work and to write and all that sort of daytime shit, I need to be in street clothes.
All right, I feel that. And my second and I like your hat too. My second question is, like, you know yourself pretty well at this point in your life, so you know what you like and what you don't like and what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. But if you were a different type of person, like, what would be, like, your dream hobby? Like, what do you want to be your hobby? Like, mine, and, like, me and Amanda always talk about, like, I wish I was really into, like, at times, I've wished I was really into gardening. But, like, I just don't give that much of a shit. I've tried. I wish I cared more, but I would have a cool outfit and whatever. You know, a lot of people say, like, exercise because that makes sense. But that's not, I mean, sometimes that counts, but I guess I equate that with, like, wanting to look good.
Yeah.
For the opposite sex, maybe myself. But anyway, do you have anything like that? You can think about it.
I think, honestly, I saw something recently of a cartoonist I follow who I didn't know drew all of their stuff with a paintbrush, and just seeing someone use a brush in, especially cartooning, like boxes where you need to have a character and enough room for text and all that sort of stuff, was so amazing to me that I just started thinking about the whole realm of, like, painting and how strange it is to use a brush to do these incredibly minute things where, you know, I can barely do that with a pencil or a pen, or the amount of control I have on the computer. That's why I like doing art on, like, Adobe Illustrator, where you have vector points where you can endlessly manipulate a line that you draw. The idea of just a brush, that you're doing it in the physical world with this, what is it, horse tail or whatever sometimes? Like, that's...
Usually it's synthetic, but yeah. I mean, that's my hobby. It's really fun, but, like, sometimes I think I'm good at it, but regardless of that, like, I think it's insane too. It's really fun.
It's beautiful. And it's funny because I'll be in, you know, endlessly tweaking, like, the brush dimensions and stuff and all these different things, and just the terminology inside of the programs is all art terms. And then I'll see it I'm learning it in the art world now and realizing that that's where it's all coming from. It's all this weird singularity sort of shit where I'm realizing I'm way farther in it than I think I am. Like, I'll see my nephew and stuff all stuck on their phones and watching other people play video games. And I'm like, no, I've been in that most of my life already.
That's cool. That's a cool answer.
And I think it's one of my hobbies, and I just want to get this theory out into the world before I forget it. So, you know, AIM and stuff, like Instant Messenger, that we used to send each other, like, messages and all that sort of shit. Now that I have my phone hooked up to my computer, it's the exact same looking window where I could just text people endlessly like that. So I've been texting people a lot, and I consider that one of my hobbies, and how it is so ephemeral, texting, where I can type as almost as fast as I'm thinking the thought, and I send it out, and I never even say it. So it's almost telepathy that we're doing. Like, I'll have people just, like, put up, back and forth to each other. And most of our friendship is through these exchanges, where it's just this weird kind of, like, we can be thinking and writing and exchanging stuff in a much more fluid way. Like, I really do think I'm a better writer than I am talker because of that, because of it, growing up texting my thoughts. I remember having girlfriends where it was just, I was a little kid. We were in seventh grade, and we were just, I would talk a lot, then we'd be in person, I'd just be so nervous and so shy. Anyway, so
I wonder if
talking with telepathy with my friends is my favorite hobby.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, you think it's made you a better writer. That's probably correct. I never thought of it that way. Yeah, I mean, I text a lot, and then at a certain point, I'm like, I can't. It's too much. Like, I need to, I don't care for talking on the phone, but I don't know. I just bored myself with talking about this. I think we should leave it at telepathy is your favorite hobby, and I think that's a great answer. I appreciate you being on Filling the Void. That's what this podcast is called. I'm going to get hornifyourhonky.com bumper sticker book.
Hell yeah.
Want to talk to Leslie about your hobbies? Call our toll-free hotline at 844-370-VOID. That's 844-370-VOID. Rate and review Filling the Void on Apple Podcasts. Filling the Void is an Erios original with editing by Tracy Levy and original score by Michael Cassidy.
Erios.
Powered by Acast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.